Good evening, everyone. I'm excited to be with you tonight and tomorrow. I brought a few things here to illustrate the topic tonight. As I thought about deeper yet, it seemed to me that there are three pillars to a revived experience with God. One is getting into His Word. The other is praying with an earnest heart. And the third is sharing what we know about Jesus with others. And so in the three presentations I'm privileged to share with you, I will share those three aspects. Now there's so much more I want to share. So I brought some DVDs with me. And I brought a present for you tomorrow morning. So I've got some gifts for you because I wish I could actually give 17 presentations, and they only gave me three. So I brought some other resources that will be available tomorrow night just for an hour and a half from 9 to 10:30 tomorrow evening. I leave early Sunday morning. Some of you know Elder C.D. Brooks passed away. His funeral is on Sunday at 1 p.m. Fell asleep in Jesus in the sure and certain hope of a resurrection when our Lord returns. He was a mentor to me. His funeral's on Sunday. So, but we're together for a few hours, and thank you to the Wedgwood Tree. Were you blessed tonight? They look older, but they still sound the same. I thought I'd say that because when I came here tonight, someone said, "You don't look the same as you look on television." I was in Guyana a couple of years ago, and a young, dark-skinned girl, beautiful young lady, walked up to me, and she said, "You're shorter and paler than I thought." Okay. But I want to share with you the word tonight. I know we're going to be blessed. This is a passion of my heart, and so I invite you to pray with me as we open God's Word. Our Father in heaven, it is good to be here, to be invited to go deeper yet in our relationship with You. This evening, as we talk about Your Word and hiding Your Word in our hearts, I pray that the same Holy Spirit who inspired the prophets, who inspired them to write the Word, who preserved the Word, that same Holy Spirit would speak to us tonight in life-changing ways. And I thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen. I would like to start by teaching you a song. Now, some of you know that my wife writes scripture songs and had no idea when she was writing them for our two little boys, who are now 36 and 32, that they would be sung all around the world by Hope Sabbath School members. But we began writing scripture songs about 30 years ago. And this is one I'd like to teach you tonight. It's quite simple. This one was actually composed by my wife's first husband. Some of you will get that in just a minute. She only has one husband. The words are taken from Colossians 3:16, but I was so impressed with all the beautiful songs she was writing. I sat down, Don, and wrote a simple melody for Colossians 3:16. So we're going to put the music up, and I'm going to teach it to you, and we'll sing it again at the end. You help me sing. Here's how it goes.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly in all wisdom.
Can you repeat that?
Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly in all wisdom. teaching and admonishing one another.
Repeat that.
Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart.
Repeat.
In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord.
Okay, you think you have the melody? Let's try it again.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord.
And all God's people said,
amen.
You sounded good tonight. That is the word of God, and we'll be talking about the importance of hiding it in our hearts. But I'd like to begin with a problem, and I'm thankful to our AV team for putting that up on the screen. They even have a screen in the back so I can read it too. So I'd like you, if you can see the screen tonight, some of you out in the wings, can you read it out loud with me? Let's read it together. Some who are teaching present truth are not acquainted with their Bibles. Now, if we stop there, that's troubling, isn't it? That people would be teaching present truth, but not what? They're not acquainted with their Bibles. But it goes on. Let's read on. They are so deficient in Bible knowledge that it is difficult for them to quote a text of Scripture correctly from memory. Now, you say, well, that's embarrassing, and you probably have heard people misquote Scripture or make Scripture say things that aren't written there, but it's more than embarrassing, according to the prophet that God has given to this Last Day movement. Let's read on. By blundering along in the awkward manner they do, what does it say? They sin against God. They mangle the Scripture and make the Bible say things that are not written therein. Now, the word mangle is an old English word, but if you ever had one of those, or if saw one of those old wringers for drying the laundry before you hang it on the line, if it got all twisted, we said it got what? Mangled. That's right. It's like all twisted and misshapen. And there are some who mangle the Scriptures, and in doing so, they not only embarrass themselves, but what does it say? They do what? They sin against God. Well, that's the problem that I want to address tonight, and I want to suggest three strategies for effectively hiding God's word in your heart. Now, you say to me, Derek, which one is the best one? Well, I think they're all good, but I'm going to suggest that you try all three. In fact, I use all three. There's a lot of wires here, so I'm going to try not to get too tangled up, but I'm going to make a little room because I'm about to water something. The first strategy, can you see it up there on the screen? The first strategy is what? Saturation. Now, what does the word saturate mean? Well, I have a little sponge here, this is supposed to be a sponge, looks like your head. I know your hair is not blue, but this is your head. Now, and this is just some water So if I put some water there and I ask you, is it saturated yet? What's the answer? Oh, you knew already, didn't you? So we would need to put a little more water in here. Is it saturated yet? Well, it's getting there now, isn't it? The word, they're plastic, aren't they? I don't know if we're really... The word saturate means what? It means to be, that's right, it means to be filled up until there's no more room. So one strategy for hiding God's word in your heart is saturation. Now, I want you to read this Bible text with me from Deuteronomy. By the way, if any of you would like this PowerPoint presentation to share in your church, our wonderful AV team, I think Barry's back there, whoever's running that, feel free to ask for a copy, okay? But this is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Can you read it out loud with me? These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Now, I know it's not really talking about your heart. It's talking about your mind, isn't it? In your heart means in your memory. Read on. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And how do you do that? What does it say? You shall talk of them when you what? Sit in your house, or when you walk by the way, or when you lie down, or when you... That's what we call... What was this word again? Saturation. It's like you just keep pouring in more and more of the word. Advent Review and Sabbath Herald. I know this is more than 125, 126 years old, but it's still present truth. We should become acquainted with the Bible. You need not be surprised that God will flash the knowledge obtained through diligent searching of the Scriptures into your memory at the very time when it's needed. Is that good news? But if the Holy Spirit's going to flash it into your memory at the very time it's needed, that means you first had to do what? Put it in there. And one strategy is saturation. Well, here's the testimony of two witnesses. When I was a very young pastor, I was privileged to meet an Adventist patriarch named HMS Richard Sr. He practiced this first strategy. What's it called again? Saturation. Now, back when he was a young man, by the way, HMS Richards only had one eye. Did you know that? He detached the retina in one of his eyes when he was 10 years old. So he lived most of his life with one eye. Do you know he didn't have CDs back then? He didn't even have cassette tapes or 8-tracks. Some of you don't even know what those are. He definitely didn't have MP3 players, right? But back when he was growing up, if you wanted to practice saturation, you would either read the Bible for yourself or you would have someone read it to you. Do you know that this man of God, who only had a sight in one eye, read through the Bible more than 160 times? Huh? 2 times every year for 80 years. What's that strategy called again? Do you know, he was asked one time, Pastor Richards, have you memorized the whole Bible? To which he humbly replied, I don't know that I would claim that I've memorized the whole Bible, but if you read me a Bible text, I will quote you the text before it and the text after it. Huh? What's that called again? Saturation. One time I'm told he was preaching a powerful sermon, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And he turned to the Scriptures and preached with the power of the Holy Spirit, and someone noticed his Bible was upside down. You see, the Word of God was inside of him. Amen? He practiced this strategy of saturation. Now, I was privileged some years ago to do an interview with another man who practices this strategy by the name of Barry Black. Have you heard that name? Barry Black was the head of chaplains for the United States Navy. Now, chaplain to the United States Senate. By the way, he said, that's a lifetime appointment. Did you know that? That is a lifetime appointment. He said, I don't think they knew I was a vegetarian. I could live for a long time. Some of you might say, praise God, a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, chaplain of the United States Senate, to which I would respond, it depends. Maybe the person would be a scoundrel. Maybe he'd be an embarrassment to the movement. But what is it about Barry Black that makes him such a powerful witness for God? The answer is that he also uses this first strategy. What's it called again? Now, you see, he's younger than HMS, of course, and so he has other strategies, other ways of saturating. Anybody here have the Bible on CD? Now, one of these days, the young people are going to say, what is a CD? Yeah, okay, because they've got it on their phone or they have it on their MP3 player, though that's obsolete too. Do you know I bought this entire New Testament on 15 CDs for $18? You know, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? You can put that into your... That's what Barry Black does. I was talking to him, driving back and forth to the Pentagon first and then driving back and forth to the Capitol, now as chaplain of the United States Senate. He listens to the Bible while he's driving. Now, he's not trying to memorize it. We'll talk about other strategies, but he's practicing this strategy. What is it again? So he's just listening while he's driving. Would anybody like to guess, just driving, if you've ever been into Washington traffic, by the way, you'll know it could take a while to drive a few miles. Do you think he could listen to the entire Bible in a year just driving to work and back? More, right? Two times? More? Richards was twice, right, reading? Do you know, just driving to work and back, Barry Black will listen to the Bible through four times every year. While he's driving, sometimes a text will hit him, and he'll pull over or he'll scribble something down. It may show up in a prayer. He's praying with one of the senators or praying at the funeral of JFK Jr. He spoke at John F. Kennedy Jr.'s funeral. The Word of God comes to his mind because he has filled his heart with the Word of God. Now, you know, whenever I meet someone who does that, I just want to use my favorite Hebrew word, and that favorite Hebrew word is hallelujah. You see, we need more women and men of God who are filled with the Word of God. What do you say? And the Spirit's going to help you, brother. You say, Derek, I don't have a good memory. I'm like the little girl. She was asked, what is memory? She said, that's what I forget with. Some of you feel like, I don't have a great memory. But what an amazing thought. If you'll just practice one of these strategies and you'll fill your mind with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, didn't we read, will flash that into your memory at the very time when it's needed. If you've just filled your mind with nonsense, all you get is nonsense. I wish I knew this when I was a young man. I was just listening to the Beatles, Don, and the Rolling Stones. You don't know who those are. You're too old. I mean young. Too young. You know, when I went through a crisis, instead of having the Word come to my mind, all I had was, help, I think I need somebody. And when my relationships weren't working right, instead of getting the Word to guide me, all I got was, I can't get no satisfaction, I've tried. Some of you don't even know those songs, I know. It's okay, you don't need to know them. But I still remember those lyrics, and they're totally useless for walking with God. We need to be filled with the Word of God. What do you say? Well, if you just said, Derek, that's awesome. One strategy. That's all I need. What's that strategy again? Okay, get some CDs. You know, you can download it on your phone, right? You can get audio Bible free on your phone. You can listen to it. I listen to it while I'm exercising. Listen to the Bible. If you just took that one strategy and practiced it, you would become a powerful woman for God, a powerful man for God. Amen? The Holy Spirit would help you. But I want to give you a second strategy. Is that okay? Here's the second strategy. Now, I don't know if any of you remember making little cards, scripture memory cards. How many of you did this to try to memorize the Bible? Say, okay, quite a few of you, all right? You can buy them at Christian bookstores. I know I don't have a lot of time tonight to explain to you, but let me just tell you very simply that it is better to make your own scripture memory card, right, teacher, right, than to have someone make it. Do you remember you studied for a test and you wrote a list down and then you could remember it? What happened if someone else gave you their list? Did it help? No, it didn't. You didn't smuggle it in with you. Unless you had a photographic memory, it didn't help. But if you make it yourself, scripture memory cards, this is where you take a single verse and or a passage and you say, I want to hide this in my heart. It's not saturation, but it's taking a text like it says in Psalm 119, verse 11. Let's read it together out loud. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And here's a wonderful quotation from one of my favorite books on the Christian life, Steps to Christ. Notice what Ellen White says here. Let's read it out loud together. Keep your Bible with you as you have opportunity. Read it and do what? Fix the text in your memory. Even while you are walking the streets, you may read a passage and meditate upon it, thus fixing it in the mind. Now, you can also make a card. And, the mistake that we make when we make these memory cards, it's true for studying for a test too, is we write them like that. Now, what's wrong with that card? Why is that not a good card for memorizing? What's the reason? Okay, that's not a bad idea, by the way, to put the scripture text beginning and the end, because you go, I know that verse, I can't remember where it's found, right? What else is wrong with that card? Help me, someone. What's wrong with it? Do you know? It's like trying to memorize a list and just writing it, like filling up. It's not the way your brain stores it. Look at this. You ready? Do you see what that looks like? Just filling in the lines, right? Look at this. You were right, brother. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3. Do you see how clear that is? It's bite-sized pieces. That's the way your brain's going to store it. It's also visually clear. That's the way your eidetic memory is going to access it. That's why the Psalms are so easy. It's not the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he makes, right? But rather the Lord, say it with me, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. That's the way you should write it on the card, in those chunks as it makes sense. Do you get that? Okay? So scripture memory cards is a second way. I have an entire book of the Bible here. This is the book of Philippians. Okay? This is my little scripture memory box right here. Okay? With the little cards in it. Okay? Well, the person who inspired me was Pastor Bob. Pastor Bob is now Mark Finley's pastor. That's quite a responsibility, isn't it? To be Mark Finley's pastor, okay? When I met Pastor Bob, probably 30 years ago now, he had not been a Christian for a long time. He grew up in a nominal Christian family, but he did not believe that this was the Word of God. Rather, he believed that these were human words about God. That's a popular liberal idea, human words about God. But Scripture claims to be the Word of God to the human family, right? Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But he didn't believe that at first. Then he went to some meetings while he was in university, deeply convicted as he saw prophetic fulfillment explained to him from Scripture. He came to the conviction under the Spirit's guidance that this was indeed a divine revelation. So Bob decided that he would hide God's word in his heart, and he decided to use this second strategy. First strategy was saturation, right? But he decided to make scripture memory cards. Well, this one's got Greek on the back and English on the front. And he made cards and he began to memorize scripture using scripture memory cards. When I met him, I said, "Bob, that is awesome." He was already a pastor. I said, how many passages of scripture have you memorized?" He said, "By the grace of God, using this simple technique that we talked about," he said, "I have memorized 360 chapters of the Bible." That is a lot of Bible, Pastor. Does anybody know how many chapters there are in the whole Bible? There's 1,189, thank you. There's 250 in the New Testament. He'd already memorized 360 chapters. I don't know whether he did the entire New Testament and then some Psalms, I don't know. But he had memorized a lot. And he had a, what do you call this, like little briefcase, attaché case, you know. He had all of his cards in there and he would carry it around with him. And I said, "What's in your case?" And he'd take it out. It's like a little bank, you know, with all these cards. And he would review them regularly and continue to hide God's word in his heart. And God blessed his ministry. Soon he became a leader of pastors in the eastern part of the U.S. Now he's Mark Finley's pastor at Living Hope Community Seventh-day Adventist Church. Some of you have heard of that new, brand new church built in Haymarket, Virginia. I saw him some years. I said to him, "Bob, you should do your doctoral dissertation on memorizing scripture." He did. He's now Dr. Pastor Bob. And I saw him just recently, and he had a bigger bag. He was walking along like this. I said, "How's it going, Bob?" He said, "It's going okay." He doesn't brag, very quiet, but he knows I'm so interested in memorizing scripture. I said, "How's it going?" He said, "By the grace of God, I've memorized more than 680 chapters of the Bible." You know, if he lives to be 90, he may get to the end. But he uses this strategy of scripture memorization. If some of you are interested, talk to me. I'll give you his email address. He's got some interesting resources. Well, the other person who's witness is a guy named Pastor Derek, and you know who that is. I was so inspired, I thought, I'm going to do it too. So I had learned a few verses, but one summer I decided to memorize the book of Philippians. There's 108 or 109 verses in Philippians. So I thought, well, if I memorize 4 verses a day during my summer break teaching at the university there at Southern, I should be able to memorize the book. And by the end of the month, I'd memorized the book of Philippians. And I was so happy, I'd drive to Cahutta Springs, which is the camp, kind of like this camp, but in Georgia Cumberland Conference. And I'd drive there and I would recite the book of Philippians while I was driving. And you know, you're not trying to earn your way to heaven. If I forgot the verse, how it started, I'd look at it and then I'd keep going. And it just became so precious to me. But the problem was then semester started and I began to teach classes. And pretty soon it was October, November, December. And somehow Philippians went away from me. I just kind of lost it. I didn't have the little bag that Pastor Bob had, because if you're just using that rote memorization with a memory card, you have to repeat it frequently. And if you don't, all this other data is coming into your brain, right? And it's hard to keep it fresh. That's why he goes over his cards, you see. Well, I didn't do that, so so I can't recite Philippians anymore. But if you misquoted it, I would know, because it's inside. And if I need it, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit will bring it to my remembrance. Amen? So, yeah, I still wish I could do that. But I found an easier way. So you want me to share the third strategy with you for hiding God's word in your hearts? This is the easier way. The scripture songs is the easiest way to memorize scripture. Now, you say, "Derek, well, I expect you to say that because your wife writes scripture songs and you live with her." But actually, my wife didn't make this up. I think it's on the screen, isn't it? We just sang it, didn't we? Let's read it out loud together. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another," how? "In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." It's interesting that, again, more than 100 years ago, writing specifically to young people, Ellen White says this: there are few means more effective for fixing his word in the memory than repeating them how. Now, I grew up, unfortunately, watching quite a bit of television. We called it the telly in England. And I can still remember advertisements that I saw when I was 8 years old. I can. I've forgotten most of what I learned in school, but I can remember ads on the telly. Do you know why? Because they had a tune attached to them. Have you heard of the company Esso? It's kind of like Chevron or Sunoco. Esso. There was a little ditty. I was 8. They asked me how I knew it was Esso Blue. I in turn replied, with lower brands you buy, smoke gets in your eyes. That was 54 years ago. How can I still remember those words? I'll tell you how. It's left brain, right brain, whole brain learning. Advertisers are smart. They put music and words together. It makes them, what they call in advertising, sticky. Sticky. The songs that had cheered the wilderness wandering, speaking about the children of Israel, were sung. God's commandments were chanted and bound up with the blessed influences of nature and of kindly human association. I want you to read the last phrase with me. Bound up with all of that, what does it say? They were what? Forever fixed where? In the memory of many a child and youth. Why? Because they sang them. They sang the commandments. They sang the scriptures. They hid them in their hearts. But this really excited me. Because I was reading my favorite book on the life of Jesus called The Desire of Ages, and I discovered that Jesus sang scripture songs. I didn't know that. But I do know that when he was tempted, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Remember that? Every time he was tempted, what did he say? It is written, see? But I didn't know this. He's still a little boy here. So let's read it together. And the he there is Jesus, okay? Let's read it. Often he expressed the gladness of his heart by doing what? Singing psalms and? Now, you know what the psalms were, right? That was the hymn book. Those were the scriptures of the Hebrews in song. The psalms. Spiritual songs? I think other passages of Scripture put to a simple melody. Who wrote them for him? Or maybe someone else. Do you think Mary wrote some? Do you think he wrote some himself? Often the dwellers of Nazareth heard his voice raised in praise and thanksgiving to God. He held communion with heaven in song. By the way, communion with heaven, what do we call that? He prayed Scripture in song. Think about it. The word is in his heart. And he's singing scripture, even as a little boy. Now, if there's any parents or grandparents here, I'm going to tell you, write that reference down, Desire of Ages 73, because I want to tell you what it says next. Because if you want, I have some resources back there tomorrow night on spiritual protection, because we're involved in a battle with the evil one. You know that, don't you? But I want to tell you, right after this quotation, page 73, he's walking around, little boy, singing scripture. You know what it says? Evil angels were banished by his presence. Evil angels were banished by his presence. Hide the word in your heart. The Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance when you need it. Sing it in praise to him. Sing it in a time of need. Sing it when your heart is glad and when it's sad. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly in all wisdom. As the children of Israel journeying through the wilderness cheered their way by the music of sacred song, what does it say? So God bids his children when? Today, gladden their pilgrim life. I want to share the testimony of two sisters. First, Ashley Holt. Ashley was one of my students at Southern Adventist University, nursing student. I heard her singing one day, beautiful voice. She took my class, and I asked my students to memorize 70 passages of Scripture. You say, well, that's a lot. You know what? I read a lot of books in university that were not worth reading. I think we need more Scripture inside of us. What do you think? Do you know I met a young man from Korea. He said, my father studied during the war. My father was studying to be a pastor. In order to graduate, they had to memorize 3,000 passages of Scripture. Yep. And when he went into the prison camp during the war, they took the Bible away from him, or did they? You see, you can take this away, but if you have it in your heart, no one can take it away from you. The Word of God was in his heart. Well, Ashley, she practiced this third strategy. She wrote a little tune for each of those 70 passages, and she was, I think, the only student in my class that knew them all. Because there's nothing more effective for hiding God's Word in your heart than putting it to music and singing in song. Well, Ashley, she has three boys now. She's teaching them the Word of God. And there was a very cute story. Her middle son was only 4 years old. My wife has a CD only of Scripture songs of words of Jesus called Red Letter Edition. And there's a song on there about the resurrection of Lazarus. It's not a simple little ditty like scratch your neighbor's back, you know. It says, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, help me someone, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Martha testifies, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. That's not a simple song, is it? Do you know little Nicholas, 4 years old, Ashley's son, was walking around listening to that song in the kitchen, and he stopped and he looked up at his mother and he said, I love the words to that song. 4 years old. You don't have to give them silly little songs. Give them the Word. Fill their hearts with the Word of God. Today he's going to, on his way to Fountain View Academy. It's in British Columbia. Some of you heard the choirs and the musicians. And he loves Jesus with all his heart. He's got a lot of Scripture in his heart. By the way, when he was little, Nicholas, still the middle boy, he didn't like to take showers. So he went to the bathroom and he thought, maybe I could just splash a little water and look a little wet. Getting ready for bed, you know how that is. Just get a little wet and go back down, and my mother won't know. And he was about to walk out of the bathroom, and a text of Scripture from a little tune his mother had composed flashed into his mind. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. He took a shower. Testimony of another witness. I am blessed and have been blessed to live with an amazing woman of God for the last 39 years. She had no idea. She's a nurse practitioner. She had no idea that she began to write these songs to help our children memorize Scripture, that it would change her husband's life, it would change my ministry, and then would change the lives of hundreds of thousands of people through Hope Sabbath School. But she began to write Scripture songs to hide them in our children's heart. And I want to close. I don't know what time to finish. I think I'm supposed to finish when I'm done. Is that right? So do I have a little few more minutes? I don't know what time I'm supposed to be done. Do you know what time? I'm going to share two stories and sit down. Is that all right? Thank you, my brother. By the way, if you get tired of listening and I'm still talking, just pray for me. Christopher was 10 years old. He's now a surgeon. He was 10 years old, riding in the back seat of my wife's Volvo sedan. I mentioned the brand because I'll tell you later it weighed about 3,500 pounds. And my son Christopher was sitting in the back seat. My wife was driving. my younger son, Jonathan, was in the car, and a friend, Linda, and her two boys. You can only imagine how much energy in the car as my wife drove up to our house near the campus of Southern Adventist University. And she did something you're really not supposed to do. Anyone here know how to drive a manual transmission? Anybody? Okay, you know how. All right. Well, you know, you can't do this with an automatic transmission, but my wife was coming up to the garage, and so she popped the gear shift into neutral and turned off the car. I don't know why she did that, but you can still roll to a, you know, she just kind of, I don't know, she was thinking about other things. Christopher in the back seat heard the engine go off, assumed the car had stopped, so he opened the rear right door, stepped out, and the rear wheel rolled up onto his foot. A Volvo sedan weighs about 3,500 pounds, so you divide by four, that's how much weight is on his foot. And he's trying to move away, and his foot is pinned under the rear wheel, half out of the car. So he calls to his mother in the front seat and says, "Mommy, you're on my foot." Now, my wife is generally very calm. She's worked in emergency room, dealt with gunshot wounds. One time I cut my leg with a chainsaw, and I came in hoping for some sympathy, and my wife was very calm. She didn't even kiss me. She just said, "Go take a shower, clean it up. You know, I still have a scar if you'd like to see it." But, you know, I thought I could go to the emergency room and they'd have charged me $800 to wash it, you know. So I just, but that's the way, very calm. But, you know, if I have a witness from a parent, if something happens to your child, it's different, right? And especially if you just drove over your child, right? So my wife was a little agitated. So in the panic of the moment, she started the car, but instead of going into reverse, she went into first gear and began to drive up his leg. So she's heading towards his knee. I mean, this is all happening in milliseconds, right? She's heading towards his knee, and my son, I am told, was not there, calls to his mother, "Wrong way, Mommy." Well, Mommy obviously realized that because she's about to hit the wall inside the garage. But you know how that is. She stops, goes into reverse, drives off, turns the engine off, runs around, scoops our poor little 10-year-old into her arms, tells her friend who's in the car, "Please take care of our younger son, get some kind of compress to put on his leg," puts him in the back seat, and she's driving to the doctor. She's hyperventilating. She's stressed out. The doctor looks and says it looks like there may be damage at the growth plate. If you know anything about orthopedics, that's very serious. With a child that's still growing, if you have damage at the growth plate, you need to talk to an orthopedic surgeon. So my wife gets lost in Chattanooga trying to find the place. I mean, can you get how she's feeling? Gets lost, and then she hears in the back seat a little voice begin to sing. A 3,000-year-old prayer. "Hear my cry, O God." Psalm 61. "Attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will cry to you. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, higher than I." How did he know to sing that song? He surely wasn't singing, "Mary had a little lamb," or "Humpty Dumpty had a great fall." How did he know to sing that 3,000-year-old prayer? What's the answer? The Holy Spirit helped him. Amen? He's not just saying, "Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy." I love that song, by the way. I love that song. But the Holy Spirit will help you. Amen? "Hear my cry, O God." He's only 10. "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a refuge for me and a strong tower from the enemy." How did he know my wife had given him that song as a gift? He hid it in his heart, and the Spirit brought it to his remembrance. They got to the orthopedic surgeon. The surgeon looked at him. turned to my wife, you could still see the tire marks going over his ankle and up his leg. The doctor turned to her and said, there appears to be no damage to his leg. What happened in the back seat of the car? I'll tell you what happened. The Spirit of God helped a little boy. I don't know, maybe there was no damage, but he could have been emotionally damaged, right? Like, watch out, here comes mom, take cover. He loves his mother. His face was shining when I came that night and he told me the story. My wife was astounded that those seeds planted in her son's heart sprang up. Several years passed. My two boys got into mountain biking. I bet they do mountain biking in West Virginia, don't they? I mean, you've got the mountains. Fat tires, shocks, right? Well, my two boys got into mountain biking, so of course they said, Daddy, you need to get a mountain bike. So I did, and we got helmets, and we tried to be really safe. But I noticed something when I began to ride a bike. Maybe, are there any bicyclists here? People like to ride bikes. You know one thing I noticed when I started riding a bike? How many dogs there are in the world. What is it with dogs and bicycles? You know, I had some negative experiences with bicycles and with dogs when I was little. So I don't particularly like dogs chasing me, but something about bicycles, I don't know. But one day, Jonathan, he was about 10 at the time, he said, this is my younger son, he said, Daddy, you want to take a bike ride? I said, okay, we got our helmets on, I got on my bike, he got on his. I said, I'll go first. And we were riding near the university along Ultua Ringgold Road, and he was behind me, and we're riding along when all of a sudden, I see this dark shadow in my peripheral vision, and why are you laughing? It was stressful. I turned my head, and there is this huge black dog running across the field directly towards me. I don't know, I'm not an expert on dogs, but it looked like a cross between a Rottweiler, a pit bull, and a mastiff. I mean, the worst kinds of dogs that you could breed together was this dog. And it's flying across the field, and I panicked. You know, calmly riding along, my son's behind me. I panicked, and I thought, I have to get out of here. So I begin to pedal as fast as I can, but this dog had studied geometry. I mean, a dumb dog would keep running straight and miss you, right? But this dog estimates the curve. He sees how fast I'm going, says, okay, I've adjusted the curve, I will make contact right about there. I mean, this dog turns while I'm pedaling faster. And he is gaining on me. In fact, it looks as if he's about to make contact. And you know, I just imagine myself in the Tour de France. You know, like Lance Armstrong, used to be a hero. And I just, this sudden burst of adrenaline, and I just, like the sprint, you know? I just shot off, and the dog is left in the dust, and this euphoria washes over me as I break away. And suddenly I remembered something. I was a father. Jonathan, I turned around, not knowing what I would see. And Jonathan was calmly pedaling his bike. And that huge black dog was sitting by the side of the road and just watched him go by and didn't even bark. And when Jonathan caught up, I said, Jonathan, did you see that huge black dog? He said, yes, Daddy. The first scripture song I sang was the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him and delivers them. I'm like, ah! He's singing. He said the second song I sang, Daddy, was, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." You know where that's from, by the way? That's in my favorite book, Philippians, right? Philippians 4, 6 and 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." 10 years old, the Spirit of God helped him. Amen? Brought the word to his remembrance while his daddy is hyperventilating. And I thought to myself, and a little child shall lead them. I just want to appeal to you tonight. We're talking about deeper yet, right? Going deeper. It's not some magic pill, some special presentation. It's getting into the Word and allowing the Word to get into us. It's learning to pray. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow morning. By the way, if you had to miss any of the three presentations, you should have missed tonight, okay? Don't miss tomorrow morning or evening. Talk about prayer tomorrow morning. And then how that flows out to bless the lives of other people. We're going to talk about deeper yet. But tonight, my appeal to you is simple. Hide God's word in your heart. Be a woman, a man who's filled with the word. Don't give excuses. The Holy Spirit will help you. Amen? So whether we use, what's this one called again? Yeah, right? So you just listen, download it on your phone while you're exercising, listen to the word. Whether you use this, you can still read the Bible if you want to. Some of us, we're so busy when we start reading, we just kind of doze off, right? Is that right? But if you were taking a walk and listening to the script, there's lots of ways that you can use this strategy of saturation. The scripture memory cards are still good. Find a text that really impresses you. Write it out. Write it in an intelligible way. Don't just buy them, but write it out. Put it in your pocket, in your purse. Take it on your, put it on your desk, and just hide that in your heart. That's good too. Or get some scripture songs. There's lots of them. I'm going to give you a present. Tell you how to download a collection of Hope Sabbath School scripture songs tomorrow. If you're here. So there's lots of ways that you can get scripture songs, or just write them and then just let that word stick inside of you and know at the very time you need it. Well, here's the promise, isn't it? Read it with me. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We have the clear example of Jesus, who said, "Man shall not live by bread alone," quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, "but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Oh Lord, thank you that you have given us your word. May we hide that word in our hearts. Show us which way or all three that will be best for us. And thank you for the assurance that your Holy Spirit will help us at the very time that it's needed. And I pray if there's a word that someone needs tonight, maybe when talking to a friend or in prayer, bring that word to our remembrance. Because, Lord, what we have to say is not that significant. But what you have to say is life-changing. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.